My good friend, John Killian, here to come minister us. So I want you to give him a warm VCF welcome as he comes and open up your heart. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Good morning to you. Any Norwegians? Yeah, sure. I'm sure I'm turned on. Am I turned on? Would you wake that brother back up there? There you go. There you go. Thank you. Just kidding. So, listen. Welcome to Victor Christian Fellowship. Good for you to be here this morning. And we're honored to be Doug and Fiona's friend. I'm not a very formal guy. I'm kind of, you know, shoot off the hips type guy. And listen, I'd like to welcome any visitors here this morning. And my brother from India, namaste, ap kaise hai? He speaks Gujarati and Hindi, so I've been speaking a little bit of Hindi to him. And that's from an Indian film song. Says you came into my life like a flower. So we learned when my wife and I were in England working with drug addicts. We worked with heroin addicts. We lived in a 25,000 square foot castle provided by Cadbury chocolate. It was a sweet deal. And we worked with 70 drug addicts. Listen, how many know when you're having a bad day? If you're having a bad day, go ahead and work with drug addicts. We lived with about 70 drug addicts, including prostitutes. They had a separate home over in Birmingham, England. And they were getting ready to establish another drug center in Delhi. And so we had a heart for India. And so they sent us to Urdu school in Birmingham at nights. Marshall and I went, I think, twice, two times a week to begin to learn Urdu. The reason they didn't send me, I'll be truthful, the reason they didn't send me, they thought I might cause a riot over there. So because I preach the uncompromised gospel, we move in signs and wonders and miracles. God moves that through us, and we are not going to compromise. We believe that the only way through the Father is through Ishu, Shatima, through Jesus Christ. And when we went to India, we didn't compromise. We says, listen, Jesus is the only way. And sometimes there were other missionaries there saying, just add Jesus to one of your gods. But if you preach the gospel, you have to preach the uncompromised gospel. And you can't water it down, because you will see no power. Because Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So it is no compromise. So this church has been faithful in supporting us for the last 7 years. And we have been, 16 countries now, 167 cities around the world. And I came from drugs and alcohol. I came from three mental institutions. I was locked up in three mental institutions for 3 years, almost totally. And they diagnosed me with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. And the doctor says, you're going to be crazy for the rest of your life. And so I used to be on Haldol, lithium, Tegretol, and now at the age 50, Geritol. I'm not no longer bipolar, but I'm tripolar, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so sometimes, God will use your weakness and turn it into strength. So sometimes my mind does, my soul kind of wanders around a lot. And so when the Spirit is shooting things into my soul, I begin to shoot things prophetically. So if you have a pen and paper, just write this stuff down, because when I get possessed of God, I'm no longer responsible. Amen. So I just start shooting things off. So write things down, because it's important to get a prophetic word individually. But I think we're coming into a season, into a mode now that God is speaking corporately to his body in a prophetic way. So this is to all. It's kind of like a shotgun thing. You get it all. And so if we're all moving corporately, then we don't have a lot of roaming territories to wander around, because you're individually looking for your destiny and purpose. But I think your destiny and purpose does work individually, but it works corporately as a team. So we're going to get into a team mode now here in the next few years, where God is going to raise up the corporate body of Christ and begin to send it out to do its exploits on the earth. We're coming into a very, very challenging season the next few years. What I believe has happened is that we have been trusting into a system, the government and so on, individuals, people, church, organizations, associations we've been trusting into a system, and now the system's getting shaken up. And because you read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25, 27, God's going to not only shake the heavens, but also the earth. And so that he will begin to raise up a remnant, that only the things that pertain to the things of the kingdom will be evident. So there are some traditions, some things that you've packed in your life through churches and traditions, that God's going to shake those things out. And so we're going to have a lot of different mindsets and changes here in the next few years. You know, we've been taught about this and we've been taught about that. Now God is going to begin to teach us what he wants from us here in the next few years. So we're going to see. Is that up there? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I'll shake not only the earthly, but I'll shake the heavenly people. Let's parallel that truth. And go to the next verse, please. Verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are what? Made, man-made, religious made. All those things are going to start getting shaken up, and God's going to begin to start removing it. Remember in Ephesians 5:27, God is calling unto himself her, the bride, and beginning to purge and purify it without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. So, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says that God himself shall sanctify us, spirit, soul, and body. That's why a lot of people are on this health thing. Well, the health thing is just not a fad. It's actually a mode that God is beginning to do. He's starting to purge and purify his church. And beginning, now I've lost weight since you saw me last. What he's doing is he's trying to get the whole body to begin to get sanctified, because what happens is when he puts the glory on the church, which means weightiness or kabod, when he puts the glory on the church, it's going to be heavy on you. And so you can't have all this weight carrying around, because even with my size and under an anointing, under a strong move of God, I get tired faster. Now, if you're lean, mean fighting machine, you can go another 3 more miles into a tribe, or you know, you can go farther than you ever gone before. So God is beginning to purge and purify the church. He's doing it himself. It's not this move like it was the women with the Pentecostal hairdos and, you know, the long dresses and you know that's your conviction. That's your conviction. But you know, women all dress modestly. But God is starting to fashion the church to the place where he's going to purify you and I. So what we have right now is we have one uncomfortable feeling, and that is darkness is starting to cover the earth. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise and shine, for your light is come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For gross darkness is covering the earth, or starting to cover the earth. And gross darkness to people. If you want to begin to see what's happening in the world, just begin to look at people. People basically are conduits. Or basically, they signify what's happening on the earth. So you see, the behavior is getting worse. You see, people are getting cold. They're getting careless and cold and unfriendly. And so basically, they're picking up this stuff in the air. They're picking up the demonic powers. And if your soul is not sanctified and your spirit is not in its fullness, you're going to start picking up these emotions. And glitches in the world, just like a transmitter sends out transmissions, a receiver receives it. You can't see words going into the air, but they shoot off as transmissions, and then the receiver receives it. So the demonic powers of the earth are just sending a lot of these signals, and if you're not in God, then you're going to pick up a lot of things in the world and then start sliding that way. And so this is why it's very, very important. According to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves as manner such is, but exhorting one another as you see the day approaching. There's never a time where you need to begin to hear the word and sit under the presence of God and under the protection of God than now. Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will begin to establish himself, will begin to abide or rest under the shadow of the Almighty. You got to be under the presence of God in order for these things not to affect you. You need to begin to go in the Word of God, because if your emotions are sending you here and there, then the Word of God will establish your emotions. How many see that? Because if you pick up the reception that's out here, you're going to get very emotional, unstable. But if you sit under the word, and David says, the word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the word has got, listen, not has to be a mental element. There's got to be a mental, it's got to be an element that goes deep in your heart. So when the winds come, the rains come, and the shaking comes, you're going to stand on the foundation of Christ. For some of us this year, you're going to get a renewing in your foundation because you have put yourself in many other moves and ideals and theologies and doctrines that you've been very, very confused. So for some of us this year, there's going to be a reestablishment of foundational things. Because if you don't have foundation in a time when the weather is getting very, very unpredictable, you're going to fall. I thank God at Faith Center, I was raised up in a very foundational school. I didn't like a lot of the stuff because I was looking for the razzmatazz. Because I got saved under Roddy Howard Brown's ministry. I got saved under tremendous signs and wonders and holy laughter. And I was looking for that at the next place. But the next place didn't really have it because its focus was on establishing the word in my heart and the development of character. And so I want you to write this down too. Also, this is going to be a season that God is going to begin to develop character in the church. We have been chasing a lot of signs and wonders and mystical things, but he wants to begin to establish character in the church because character is, listen, is going to carry you through. The character of God is going to carry you through. Even with the gifts operating in your life, you won't be a shooting star that's just there for a while and then begins to just shoot off. So, brother, go to Luke 5. I've been given the assignment to begin to reach this next generation of youth. We got to raise our young people up because what I'm looking at right now in the natural is basically a sad state. I went through McDonald's not long ago and I said, ma'am, you forgot the straw. She says, that's the last straw. I quit. But you can see, you know, the kids with the monster drinks and all. You can just see, the apathy of young people, you know, not wanting to work. And it's just, you see it everywhere across America. And you say, Lord, if we have to begin to do something and raise this next generation up. And then Luke 5, verse 1 says this, and it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Next verse, please. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out them, and they were washing their nets. There were two ships. Now, everybody says all truth is parallel. Everybody say that. So we're going to parallel this truth. One boat is the older generation. The next boat is the younger generation. In order to see the chemical reaction or to explode into what God wants from this place, we're going to have to see the younger generation, older generation come together. And also, they said they were washing their nets. What? They're washing their nets for the harvest. So the older generation and the younger generation are going to be participators in the harvest. Washing their nets. Wait a minute. What's happening now? What's happening now is that I have a fisherman friend. He's going to be here probably on the 29th of July. Pastor Dorman. He used to be one of those deadliest catch fishermen. And he says the reason you wash your nets because you have to have clean nets. Any algae or any sediments or anything hanging on the nets, the fish see it and take off. And so the nets have to be washed in order for the sinners to be drawn to it. And so that's what God's doing right now. He's washing the church up right now so he can draw the sinners. Because church as usual, I believe, is going to come to an end. You're going to see a very, very different church start to rise up. I need two people up here, please. Joe Michael, can you come up here, please? And one more person. Yeah, you look like a volunteer. Thank you. This way, Joe Michael. Oh, this is my son, John Michael. He's my bodyguard. Amen. Yeah, he's a very intelligent kid. And he's not as strong as me yet, but he'll get there. He's a very gentle person. And I've been trying to get him a lot more aggressive, but I'm just going to leave that alone. Okay? So, listen, I'm proud of him. He's my second son, and I just appreciate him traveling with me. And I love him so much. I call him 8 o'clock in the morning, 10, 11, 12. And but I just thank you, John Michael, for being with us. Amen. Come this way, please. You're gonna start to see three things begin to happen. Don't hold my hand too long, sis. Goldie Hawn. There are three things going to begin to happen right now during this transition and change that we're going to see. We're going to start seeing three breakoffs or three major movements start to happen here. And I want to listen. God showed me this. I didn't get this from TBN or To Be Announced. I got this straight from the throne room. And what's going to happen is on my right side, there's coming what we call an ecumenical church. And that's basically this one world church is going to be where the Antichrist will have presidents. He'll be the director over this church. Now, this ecumenical church is going to be basically a church of many different religions. And you start to see New Age starting to creep into churches and stuff like that, many different religions. So there's going to be a lot of religions basically concentrated in this move here. Muslim, Hinduism, all this stuff is going to be a one world church begin to come up. And you'll see also the seeker-sensitive churches, if they're not careful, they'll be also drawn into this move here. Because, yes, God is love, but listen, all rivers don't go to the same ocean. Okay? Jesus said, I am the only way, the truth, and life. John 14:6. So we see a move here of an ecumenical church, basically a church that accepts all religions, all theology basis, and that's going to begin to happen. Now, on this side, you're going to basically see a return back to legalism. You'll see because and Luke 21 says they're perplexed and they're fearful of what they're seeing or the apprehension of what they see coming on the earth. So it's going to cause people to draw away and separate themselves literally and almost begin to raise up a cultish type surroundings or growth. And so you'll see people like going into the woods and going into this and start having their own groups and so on. And they're going to begin to hide themselves away from the world. Jesus never called us to hide ourselves. He says, you're in the world, but not of it. He says, go into all the world. So we can see on a scriptural basis, all this unity stuff of all the world's religions is not scriptural. Because Jesus said, he's the only way, the truth, and life. And then we see here, people that are drawing themselves away because they don't want to get touched by the world and they want to be holy and all that stuff. So we see unscripturally this is happening. So listen, bro, right here in the middle, go ahead and push against me. Right here in the middle here will come pressure on both sides. And the middleman here is going to be what we call the remnant. And that's going to be the church that God is going to begin to raise up in this end time. And there won't be a lot of people in it. Because after God begins to purge the church and begins to refine the church, there's not going to be many, I don't think of many people. I mean, it's going to be probably in the millions, but not many as, you would think. And this is why you go to some churches now, you don't see as many people as you did, say, 10 years ago. And what's happening is, write this down, this scripture, John 16:8. God is bringing righteousness and conviction. And what he's doing is he's beginning to purge the church. And so those people who will not sit in for the purging will be eliminated. They'll just walk out anyway because they'll feel a sense of an uncomfortable feeling because what God is doing. Listen, if you ever throw like 20 pounds of Bengay on you, it feels good after it stops hurting. And so there's going to be a sense at the same time you're going to feel pressure from the world. But at the same time, there's going to be an internal change and a process to begin to purge stuff out of your life. And it's been happening to me. Stuff starts beginning to surface. You don't know where it happened. Someone starts a fire, and it's just, or someone says something, and there's a trigger point, and things start beginning to rise to the surface. It's revealed for a reason. It's revealed so you can change and repent from that. Because if you don't, then God will take it to another level. He'll take it to the rooftop and expose it. And many times he's going to do the first exposure with loved ones and with family members. That's what he's going to do. Because God doesn't like to embarrass people. He doesn't want to embarrass people. So he takes it to different processes and different stages. So the first thing he does, he'll begin to reveal it to family members. And then the family members begin to confront and say, hey, you've been doing this. You need to stop this, okay? If you refuse to change then God takes it to another level. You may be seated. Thank you. Do you see that? And so you don't want it to get to the rooftops. The reason God allows exposure is not to destroy you, but to help change you. He's not into destroying business. The rebuking and correction, that's all part of the love walk too. He wants to help change you. And so you're not willing to change. When God was telling me, I want you to move further and further, I kept staying in my church for 11 years until my pastor shut me down. And once I went through that rejection, then I got injected. I was so loyal that I was so faithful to that church. God didn't want me to. He wanted me to go on to a different move. He says, John, I went, and I didn't listen to him. So it basically, there was a situation where he came and he basically said, John, I want you to sit down. It was my meeting. And I went through this rejection. I went through this hurt for years of my own pastor saying, it was my service. And he took the microphone from my hand. And what was the reason? Because we would have never left that place if that situation wasn't interjected. So sometimes if you're not listening to God, sometimes there's going to be more crucial things that'll be implemented to get your attention, to get you out of that. Do you see that? Now this is my second church. My first church I was dedicated to for 11 years. So God is not bipolar and schizophrenia where you're changing churches every 6 months. God is into establishing. He's into foundational things. Once a God establishing a church, he don't make a mistake with that. You got to learn to grin and bear some things and learn to tolerate some things and learn to understand that, listen, people, humanity is humanity. People are going to make mistakes. But listen, you're there to learn in that church. You're not going to find a perfect church because when you get there, it's no longer perfect. You see that? And so the Holy Spirit, he has come. He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, he shed his blood. He declared you righteous by his blood. But there's got to be a continuous righteousness which comes from the process of the Holy Spirit. You see, the blood declares you righteous already, but the Holy Spirit continues to make you righteous. How many see that? And so that purging is going to begin to intensify in his end time as you see darkness coming on the earth. Where sin abounds, what? Grace much more abounds. So there's going to be a greater element of change and purging in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we got to become brighter and lighter. So what's going to happen is when it gets so dark, you're going to stand out. You won't even have to announce that you're this remnant. All you have to do is begin to walk around. And they said, what is that bright light? And listen, most of your contention and most of your enemy will not come from sinners or heathen. It's going to come from religious people. Because you read that Psalms 2, the anti-anointed movement is actually, it's not just anti-Christ. Christ was what? The anointed one. So there's going to be an anti-anointing movement, not an anti-Christ movement. You'll read that in Psalms 2. And so your persecutors are going to come from the people left and right of you. Like I just showed you. Not from the heathen, because the heathen are going to be coming in by the thousands. Because they're going to say, my goodness, the world's so dark. Look at those bright lights. Let's go towards it. And you won't have to pass out tracts anymore or stand in the streets and preach, with the bullhorn and the end is coming soon. All you have to do is walk into Walmart and people start falling out in aisle 9. We need to clean up in aisle 9, please. Clean up in aisle 9. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us with the washing of regeneration and the renewing or the continuous renewing of the Holy Spirit. So it's not anything you and I can work up or do any more religious rites or duties. It's the God in us that's beginning to change us. This is why you're on this diet thing, this weight thing, and then you have a passion about it because the weight things in the past didn't work, but what God initiates will work now. Do you see that? So it's nothing that we're doing but staying in faith and love. Faith and love are the two ingredients that keep you in God changing you. Because once your love has been hurt, you get out of faith. If someone distorts your love and offends you, you get right out of faith. And then you become faithless. So that's why it also says in the end times that many shall be what? Offended. You got to cover your heart and deal with those offenses. The first thing to do, you got to be like New Jersey people. Hey, what'd you say about me? You talking to me? You talking about me, Joe? Everybody needs a Robert De Niro anointing. You looking at me? Talking to me? You want a fresh one? If something is said, you need to confront your brother and sister and say, "Listen, I heard, you know, there's been some talk. Let's talk about it." Instead of saying, "Well, I'll just talk to, you know, a brother British officer over here, and you know, and brother Gandhi over here, and start just begin to spread things around," when you need to confront. Amen. You guys from the East Coast, you guys know used to confronting, right? In the South, they said, "I do declare, no, that's all right, brother. You know, y'all welcome here every time." Where'd that come from? Please go to Exodus 16:10, please. Now, here's what's going to start happening here. I'm going to tell you this. I believe I'm hearing God on this. I'm giving you instruction and preparing your hearts and your minds for what's going to be happening here, I guess, in the next few years. I'm going to make a statement. God is drawing himself away to find out who his true seekers are. God is pulling himself away to find out who his true seekers are. You're not going to sense the presence of God as you did 10, 15 years ago. God is beginning to get his people into a mature walk now, to not to base themselves on feelings, but to base themselves on what the Word of God says. So you practice the Word of God without any emotion and sometimes without any presence. And it's a way of maturing the church. It's a way, because, you know, the first church of B.J. Thomas, I'm hooked on a feeling. Or the second church of the Bee Gees, it's just emotion that's taken me over. And I'm not saying we're gonna have that at the end of the service. We're gonna see God move and touch you, but you can't base yourselves on that. Saying, "My goodness, I remember back in 1967 when I had that feeling." And what you do is you start chasing that feeling, and you literally do go back to 1967 because there's a familiar spirit waiting for you. That's no longer God, that counterfeits the feeling that you desired. And then it captivates you and keeps you under that, and then you never move on for God. And that's what I've seen in the old realm of the Pentecostal church. They, and what happens, they never went on from God, and they were saying, "Oh, I want that experience I had back in 1968. And they never move on with God. And what happens is God done moved on. And so a familiar spirit is sent because they desired that. Recently, a pastor, I just told him, I said, "Pastor, you can't stay in this laughing movement all the time, getting drunk in the Holy Ghost day after day. Every time they get together, they want to get drunk in the Holy Ghost." Well, he got drunk this time. He broke out in shingles and he was basically bedridden for 1 year because a familiar spirit got in there and God done moved on. Keep your spiritual ears open. Keep your heart open for God always moving. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are higher. He's in the fresh stuff. He's in the fresh bread. God's a fresh, everybody say, God's a fresh God. He is. His mercies are new every morning, right? So he's fresh. Not, you know, well, let me tell you, 20 years ago, forget that. The Bible says faith is now. Faith is, everybody says faith is now. So now you should have faith for the now generation. If you're still having faith for 20 years ago, that's where your faith is. God doesn't bless the past, but he blesses today and gives you a hope for the future. And it came to pass as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness. They're already in the wilderness of Sinai, or the wilderness of sin. They're already there. They look toward the wilderness and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. God is going to start, listen, with this purging process, he's going to take you out to the Sahara. I'm not saying that. But spiritually, you and I are going to start getting taken out to the wilderness. Why? Now, this is spiritually. This is not literally. You may move to Arizona. I don't know. But he's going to take you out because he wants to start purging you, sanctifying you, causing you to get away from all this distractions and everything that's in the world. That's what he's going to start doing. He's going to start building a relationship with you and you alone. So you know who you are in him when you don't know what's going on in the world. Do you see that? He wants to give you an identification with him. So there's going to be literally an intimacy time. You're going to develop intimacy with him during this time, during this process. And that's what we're in right now. Because you also see that the world's illustrating right now recession, depression, right? And shaking a lot of you up, shaking me up a little bit. Let's see, but our source is not in the world. It's in him. And so while they were in the wilderness, they looked and behold, the glory of God appeared. So in your wilderness time, in your wilderness experience, that's when God's going to show up. When you lost your job, when you don't have what you used to have, and now your dependency that was in a system is crumbling, this department is going down, this couple is, you know, this part of the family that used to be a part of you and helped you out, they're gone now. So listen, you're standing here almost in the wilderness saying, now what? But listen, as they look forward, they begin to see the glory of God was there. And so what God is basically doing right now for you, he's doing us a favor. He's wanting you to separate yourselves onto him and trust in him and him alone and not in a system that's crumbling. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The world is passing away in the lust thereof, but he who does what? The will of God abides what? Forever. So, right now, listen, so you'll do the will of God while the world is passing away. That's what he's saying right now. While the world is starting to pass away, do my will and you'll abide forever. So we're trusting in a God where we can't trust in what's happening right now. You have to trust in a God when the world is uncertain. So that's the mode we're starting to shift into now. Trust totally in him, not in a system, not in a government. Everybody's having it, the medical thing and all that. Trust in God. The next verse, please. Next verse. I have heard the murmurings. This is a time right now where you can start complaining because you're not getting your way anymore. You don't have what you used to have. You don't have the convenience. Well, the gas is going up. We can't go to Florida like we used to. Well, this is the time that you can begin to initiate a lot of complaining. God doesn't like complaining. I complain. He doesn't like complaining because when you complain, it means you're saying, I don't trust. When you complain a lot, you know people that have a lot of certainties don't really complain a lot because they know something's going to happen. And so during this time of uncertainty, watch your complaining. Because you're complaining can begin to cause a spirit of bitterness to come in. And then a spirit of bitterness comes in. And then next thing you know, you have unforgiveness. And then you have doubt and unbelief. And all that enters in by just complaining, by speaking words of doubt and unbelief. Negativity. Right? So, Michael, what did Einstein say? Where there's a lot of darkness, there's an absence of light. Where there's a lot of cold, there's an absence of heat. And where there's a lot of hate, there's an absence of God. So when you're bitter and you're talking negativity, that's probably there's an absence of God there. Now watch this. At even, you shall eat flesh in the morning and you shall be filled with bread. Now in the morning time, God dropped loaves of Wonder Bread on the American church. Just kidding. That's the American church in the wilderness. Where's my Wonder Bread? Whole wheat, please, Lord. Thank you. Over the years, we've had a lot of bread. We've had a lot of word preached to us. Okay? But now that word is going to have to be initiated by doing. So now we've heard word, word, word. Now God is going to shift in the season of you're going to have to perform that word now. I'm going to perform that word, but you're going to have to walk it out by doing it. The next verse, brother. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around. Okay, the quails, or the butterball turkeys in the American church, dropped down from the heavens. It's butterball turkey, right, for the American church. It dropped down in the evening, okay? Jesus says, my meat is to do his word and to what complete it or finish it. We're coming in the season now. You're going to have to get into the meat. The meat is the doing of it. So you've had word. Now you got to begin to shift into doing it. So now we're getting into the meat of the word, which actually is the doing of it. The evening time depicts darkness. So the greatest doing is going to be usually in the dark time. So we've had light all this time for the bread to begin to soak into the turkey. And now God is going to start taking and put the turkey in the oven to cook it and purge it. And then, listen, then people are going to eat it. I didn't even have this illustration about the turkey. This is the first time I've had this. Did you see that? Put the bread, right, into the meat, cook it, purge it, right, and then come out, and then people start eating it. So now every one of us are going to go into the Holy Ghost oven to get cooked. And when we come out, there's going to be that fresh aroma, and the world, and who's going to come and say, man, I want the leg, I want the dark meat, I want the white meat. Listen, I'm telling you, this is going to start happening right now. And that's why some of you feel very uncomfortable right now. Some of you feel you're kind of very undecisive. Do I go into the world and find it in the world, or do I stay right here and stand upon the promises of God? Genesis 26, I think it said Isaac was in the land of Gerar or something like that, and during the time of famine. And what he wanted to do, he wanted to go into Egypt. He wanted to go, but God says, don't go to the system. He says, stay right there, I'll bless you. He says, stay right there, stand upon my promises. Listen, during the drought, everybody wants to go find something else, usually, you know, where the oasis is and where I can get refreshed and I can find a job and everything. Why don't you just stand right now upon the promises of God and see what our God's going to do? So rather than going to the system of Egypt, he stood upon the promises, and it says that year he had 100-fold. He sowed into the famine. So this is where you're going to take the word and literally see meat come out of it. Now, when they said it can't be done, that's when God says do it. When you're in the time of the impossible, that's when God says all things are possible. Now, oh brother, it's just not convenient. It's just not the time right now. That's when God says, okay, I can't use you. But when you see the whole circumstances, no, this is not conducive for, no, this is not the right timing, brother. No, that's when God says, try me. Prove me. See, I won't pour you a blessing in the time of famine. See, that's what's gonna separate everybody else. When everybody else is broken, disgusted, and busted, you're going to be prosperous in the time of famine. How's this store still open? Mine's closed. Oh, we serve a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he's prospering me in the time of famine. Well, that's just not fair. I said, get a hold of God and get a hold of his principles in the word, and he'll bless you. That's what's happening. Listen, do I look like I'm starving? If I get broke, I just go to Pastor Doug and Fiona's. They always have a Guyanese meal waiting for me. Listen, it's a very terrible, great time we're in right now. And I don't want you to get disheartened. I don't want you to faint. I want you to be encouraged. In that Luke 21, when all this stuff started hitting the earth, the roaring of the waves, earthquakes, pests, all that stuff, Jesus says, when you see these things, look up. Look up to me. What's my word say about this whole situation? He that dwells in a secret place, listen, will be safe. And I also saw a vision of these cocoons starting to go over God's people. Like this cocoon, this bubble, where they're going to be safe when times look like this, getting really rough. And they're not going to be affected. They're going to look and see. They're going to sense what's happening, but they're not going to get affected by what's coming on this earth. Me, personally, I believe there's going to be one great, glorious move of God, and then God's going to take us out of here. So don't be anxious to leave out of here so quick. Get ready. Listen, find out your purpose here on this earth and get lined up into that territory. And once you get in that territory, it's yours. And God wants you to work that territory and work that land. And then when you're not even thinking about it, He'll take you up. We have to concentrate on this end time harvest right now. That's why we have our hearts on these kids. This youth, we got to raise up this next generation now. I can basically line up a church and see where the church is at by the sometimes by how their heart or the amount of kids they have. They got no kids, they probably close up. Serious. You need to have your youth here. Also, you see an influx of drug addicts coming here. Luke 14, the maimed, the blind, the halt, the people that don't usually fit in the church, they're coming in. Brother John, I have a drug addict church now. Well, they're not people either. Oh, well, I just don't have the righteous folks like I used to have. Oh, are they really righteous? They're going to be on the deacon board and get deacon possessed and take over. Sometimes it's the mechanic back there with the greasy fingers. He might make a better deacon. Oh, here's Bill Gates. We got Bill Gates with us. Let's put him on the deacon board so we can build a new building. Bill gets in there and goes, now I have the money, folks, and so I'll kind of run things. No more. That stuff's ending. That's ending. You'll know who the people are and where they're going to get positioned. And now listen, I know God's been working this on this church for the years, and I believe it's ready now. It's ready to move forward and into new territory and invest into new things. The breakthrough has happened here. And what God's going to begin to do, He's going to send a presence, and He's going to basically send a mode in here that if you don't fit in with what's going on here, you'll just say, oh, I just don't feel to stay here anymore, and you'll go. And then that remnant that's there is going to be the one that's going to take it on to the next level. But the backbiting and all that stuff, man, it's being removed. And people are dying young now. I got a florist friend in Toccoa, Georgia. He says, John, business is great. People are dying at 40 and 50 now. I'm not trying to scare the hell out of you, but it's a fine line we're walking out. It's no more roaming around like you used to. You know, roaming minutes cost. Go ahead and roam on your phone. Oh, my goodness, where'd that bill come from? Well, you started roaming everywhere. You can't roam anymore. You got to stay on the straight and narrow now and walk it. You better find your church right away and stay in it. Don't be around here running around. After a while, you'll fizzle out. It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Brother, Psalms 37, and I have a few more, and that's it. Psalms 37, verse 18 to 22. I'm trying to encourage you, man. When you face this stuff now, you got to start trusting in God. Listen, I'm not getting any tithe from you. I'm telling you, tithe is a commandment from God, and you need to sow right now. Listen, the tithe doesn't even belong to you. That one dime out of the dollar, you sow it in the place that feeds you. That one dime doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. If Brother Doug and Fiona manipulate it, they're going to be charged. God will judge them. But God sees what you have sown, and He's going to bless you for it. And listen, if you never tithed before, this is the year to do it. Because this is the year of acceleration. He spoke to me. This is the year of acceleration. But you got to do it all the time now. There's none of this once in a while, double-minded. No, if you do it all the time, you can have 100-fold this year. Not just money, but whatever you invest in that's good in God. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Forever what? Even in bad times? That's His word, right? He says, I esteem my word even above my name. Next verse. They shall not be ashamed in what? The evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. So one way to find out if you're really in God's mode, are you getting blessed in these evil times? Or are you prospering in the times when everybody says it's not supposed to prosper? And the reason if you're not, it means you're not consistently doing what God is asking you to do. If you'll do exactly what His Word literally says to do, you'll be blessed. He doesn't. His Word doesn't return void. It accomplishes the very thing that we have sent it out to do, right? That's why I like a word church like this. I used to be one. I want more power. I want more miracles. But listen, if you got all the power and miracles and you don't have the Word, you don't have instruction, you don't have wisdom, you don't have the Word, you're just going to be like a guy with a shotgun shooting everybody. Oh, here, take it. Next verse. But the wicked shall what? The world's passing away and the lust thereof, right? It's passing away. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat of lambs. Man, I'm fat. No, that fat means just blessed and just your cup is running over. And they shall consume into the smoke shall they consume away. Next verse, please. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. But the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. It's given you the instruction how to prosper in a famine, right there. Show mercy and give. And God showed mercy and give to you. So instead of investing in stocks and stuff that's crumbling away, why don't you invest in God's stuff? Don't invest in ministries that's passing away. Invest in ministries that's growing. Because you're investing in something that's going down, not up. Because if you invest in something that's going up, then it's going higher. God's going up with that. They're going up with God. So you'll get the blessings of that investment. This is so simple, you know. How dumb can you get and breathe? And I think verse 22, brother, one more, is it? For such as to be blessed of the shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed off, and he'll be cut off. So you're in a serious time now. You're in a time of realism. This is reality now. You know, we used to go to church and play church. Hello, glory to God. You remember all those days? Ah. And now reality's hitting to go, I don't think I'll go to church. So we're going to find out who the true seekers are in these end times when things get darker, when things get grosser, when things get harder. We're going to find out who the real McCoy is coming into these doors, coming into God's presence, coming in to seek Him without any without any alternative motives. He's going to find out what your motive is now. That's right. And for you guys being here, I believe your motive is right. And keep coming back. Keep hearing that word. Now listen, Doug and Fiona, I'm just saying it because, you know, they're my friends, but they are an example or an example of what I see in God. Because exactly what they preach so far, I've seen that they emulate exactly the words of what they preach. When they talk about prosperity and blessing, I see that in their life. When I'm thinking about, my goodness, this dinner is going to be this, the guy goes, all right, what do you want to go eat? Back lunches possibly? No, I'm not saying, listen, because we'll go and just lavishly spend uselessly. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying they're not concerned about the situation out here, the circumstances out here. They're trusting in God. And so here's what I would say to you, and I'll close with one more scripture, and it's in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Brother, I saw this water tower, and there was a lot of leaks coming out of it, and there was like the enemy didn't come one way towards you. He came many different ways, and he hit you from the rear. He hit you, you know, hit you from your left flank, right flank. He hit you, and there's just all this leaks coming out. And but brother, I'm telling you what, God's not going to patch up things with you. He's going to give you a totally new water tower. He's going to totally turn everything around. And you've contained some stuff in the past that God says, yeah, it helped you for that time, but now this is the new. You're going to get fresh stuff, fresh water, a new tower. And listen, it's going to stand firm this time. It's not going to tilt over. And so, you know, get ready for a renewing, a regeneration, and a totally new change in you and your family. It's just totally going to be, God's going to just turn it all the way around. And you've had some, you know, doubts how this is going to work because, you know, I've done this before, I've done that before. But he says, God, this is a different time for you. So he said, I want you to establish yourself, stand strong, and keep going forward because he's with you. He says he's also your rear guard. And so also some people have been speaking behind your back and stuff, but God's going to protect that and take you forward in this time. And so it's kind of like you've been in this room and you don't know how to get out of it. But I tell you what, God's going to have an open door for you to get out of this room. And yeah, emotionally it's attached to you, but you're going to have to go forward. And that's not, you know, that's what he's giving me about you for you right now. So I don't try to read into stuff because I just say what God says. You know the rest. So it says, and you became followers of what? This is Apostle Paul talking of who? Paul, the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow. So if someone's successful in something, you ought to follow them. Especially when they're in God. The reason I'm financially stable in a sense, I'm not saying I'm rich or you know, not out of debt, is my wife was financially set and she knew, you know, she knew her, about finances, and she was stable in it. She helped me get out of that. And so I came under her covering and I came under her anointing. I came under her teaching because, you know, I used to say, well, I'm the spiritual head of this family. She says, not in finances you are. So men, why don't you just hide your pride, you know, take your pride out of there and just submit to somebody or something who's been more successful than you and learn from them. That's just as much as, oh, yay, I lay hands on thee and thou shalt be free and thou shalt be like a tree and thou shalt be like me and thou shalt see. And because I went to my wife, I said, honey, I said, I know you're good in finances, and here's a charismaniac. You know, would you lay hands on me so I can receive your impartation? She says, no way. You need to sit down and get hands-on training. And that's what we want to do. We want to find the magic wand that's going to set us free from everything. And, oh, if I give the brother Rod, you know, $46,000 is going to end up in my bank, you know. Well, I don't think, why would God allow that if you continuously are reckless in your finances? He says, well, he'll be reckless with $46,000. So why not send him a mentor or send someone a standard to begin to help them begin to have a way of life and how to get out of debt and have stability in their finances? And of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and the joy of the Holy Ghost, we came followers. Listen, get under someone's mentorship and learn from them. And learn the practicality and the radicality of them. Amen?
Amen.
Brother, you're beating a drum, but no one's listening. And I kind of see you right now. I see you in a classroom. I see you in a classroom, and you have a lot of giftings, but they're all being contained in this room. They're not going out right now. And so I just see you being taught in some things in this classroom. There's nobody else in the classroom but you and God, and he's teaching you some things, and I see all kinds of giftings on you, blessings that God has for you. But right now he wants to take you in this class, kind of like, not remedial, is that the term, is it, you know, just reestablishing some things back in your life and to set you, because you got the goods, brother, you know, but God wants you to be more gooder. Okay, because sometimes the more talents and giftings we have, the more we have to establish a character to maintain it and hold it up. Do you see that? Because what's happened to a lot of ministers in the past, and ministries, is sometimes they've had a lot of stuff and not enough foundation to hold it up. And it's taken them for a ride. It's taken them here. It's taken them into excess. Do you see that? And so you have a lot there, brother. You're packed with a lot, But God says there's going to have to be a lot of foundation to hold that up. So there's just like, you know, classes, remedial classes, refreshing classes for you. Amen? Amen. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? I'm giving you kind of like prophetic instruction in this end time. You're not going to feel God like you used to. I'm just telling you right now, you're going to feel God here this evening. I mean, this afternoon. But it's like, where are you, Lord? And he's saying, listen, I want you to chase me. I want you to hunt me down. I want you to believe my word now, literally. And as you believe my word, I'll meet you and then manifest the word on somewhere in the middle of the road as you're coming after me. So this is going to cause you and I to grow up. That's it. We're growing up. We're getting out of the Pampers. We're getting out of the... You want me to change you again? We're getting out of that. We're starting to grow up because he wants a bride that's going to be mature. And the word mature is holiness. Holy is mature, basically. So he's going to raise up a righteous, a mature bride. Listen, we got some awesome things coming up. Some awesome, awesome, awesome things. And I believe we are at the time of the Antichrist. I believe he's living right now. He's getting ready to take presidents and because of what's happening, one world order and everything. It's coming right now as we speak. But we're in God's order. Amen. I guess that's basically it. I just want you to listen. I want to thank you for supporting us over the years, and you know, my wife and I, we couldn't be out here without you guys, without your prayers and support. We couldn't be out here. And I'm challenged now with this thing with the kids, and also in 2011 we're gonna do our youth camp in Newfoundland, which I was just there. But listen, right now we're gonna concentrate on Central PA, and hopefully get 50 kids in here. And you talk to Pastor Doug and Fiona about, you know, being a participating with this youth, and helping out, and being a help to them. For some of us, it's like we're aiming for the Benny Hinn ministry and all that stuff. And you're chasing something that won't sometimes give you fulfillment. Whatever God brings you, and it'll bring you fulfillment. You'll have peace with it, and you'll be content. And everything that pertains to life and godliness will be added to you, given to you. It says, my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, see, begging for bread. That's his promises. So just start to quote his promises. All right? Listen, there's times where I get in this fear. I'm thinking about, oh man, where's the next check coming from? How am I going to make it out here? And then next thing you know, I'll go to a service or get in the presence of God. Next thing I'm walking around like, what are you talking about? My God, just, I'm serious. It's kind of like taking drugs or something. I don't know. That's why I used to do cocaine. I used to do cocaine and stuff because I'd be so down and despondent and insecure. All of a sudden, I'd take that cocaine and, you know, walk up to the lady. Hey, where you been all my life, girl? Yeah. Can I buy you a melon ball? Yeah. Come down from that cocaine like, oh, I lied. I'm not really a lawyer. I just said that to get to you. I don't know. It might be a negative now. I don't know. Now, listen, here's what I want. I need your participation this afternoon, right? I need you just to lighten up. Just, you know, you probably brought a lot of stuff from the past, and you know, three hims, three hers, and you know, I know, you know, and I've been to some churches, man. It's like I've been to this one church. It was so dead that if a guy had a heart attack, the EMS would take the whole church out. You know, so. Do you act this way at home? I hope not. Maybe as the stomach turns. I mean, but you ought to just come in here and just be yourself. Just be you. I'm the same way up here as I am over here. I am. But, you know, if I could, I would wear sweats and those black sneakers with the Velcro on it. You know. Oh, I know you got your outfit at Walmart. How'd you know? Because those beads are coming out of it. I got a tattoo here. I've been married three times. My first two marriages, before BC. And my third marriage, you know, it's Christ. I've had DUIs, jails, been psychiatric wards. And when I went to the Bible school, I hardly qualified. He said, well, my goodness, look at this record here. We can't take you. You're not an outstanding Bible school student. But I'm the new breed. You can't tell us about that, you know. Come on, brother. Bless you. That's my other bodyguard right there, brother. Listen, he took me from the pit and put me on the rock, man. David says he took me from a miry pit, a horrible pit, and established my feet upon. How's that got to do with my works? What I did? Nothing. So I just kept walking the line through thick and thin, through bad and good, and just kept walking the line just like this. And it got bumped off a couple of times, got back on track again, just kept going. Now I don't really think about, oh, you go to this country, how'd you? I don't know. I just don't think about it. I just think about when I'm going to go. We're going to go with Pastor Doug and Fiona in November to Guyana. And this is my second time there. And my brother from India, we've been to his country 4 times. Ishu Shatima. Bolo J. Yusuki J. Bolo J. 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 Ahe Homeini Zindagi Adumba Harabandeke. Paradeshi Paradeshi Jananahi Muchichilke Paradeshi Meriara. Right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? We've been to his country and we saw a 16-year-old boy raised from the dead. We got it on picture, everything. Pastor Bobby was with us. You know, I was giving the kid water and Bobby was taking pictures. We need pictures for this. We can get on charisma. Deaf ears open, miracle after miracle, you know, and we're going to see greater miracles coming here in America. I'm serious. You're going to start. Oh, I'm going to. It doesn't mean you. Please don't. Doesn't mean you don't give this ministry. I was down in Alabama, Fort Payne area, and I went. I did a lot of meetings down there. I did 7 days. Let me see. No, 5 days of meetings and 7 hours away, and I came up with about $150. Let me be honest with you. Now, $150 is good money to me, but it won't take care of the. You know, you got someone on the road driving, and you know when you're gone 5 days and 7 hours away. So I started complaining to God. I said, God, I said I can't make it out here. I got a CDL, I'll go back and drive trucks. I manage restaurants, Denny's and stuff. I'll go back and manage. But I can't make it out here on this, just this alone. And you know, Lord, I don't stay in hotels all the time. Very rarely, I stay in people's homes. I try to help save money for the church and stuff. And this is no lie. Now, I was either very tired or I was disillusioned or whatever. But all of a sudden, something just went like this, appeared or dropped there. And I just looked over there and there was a pile of 20s. So I'm looking like, no way. I was tired and I just separated that money because I'm very, very sure I put it right there and started counting. Then I went there and it was a total of $1,000. And I went, very interesting. So I get very excited and I call my wife up. This is the truth. I call my wife up. I said, Marshall, you're not going to believe this, but $1,000 just appeared. And she says, ask him for more. Ask him for more. She didn't say, oh my God, like that. She said, ask him for more. Now, I want to test this. I want to see God do this one more time because I don't know. Because I don't think the 1,000 was put there. And I heard now people, you know, there's food appearing on people's tables and stuff. I see, you know, I was against that gold dust. Like, these kids were just throwing gold dust around the church. When I was in Newfoundland, it was actually coming out of my skin under my face. That gold dust stuff. It's gold. And the Lord showed me, I said, I could use some of that and pay for my gas and stuff. But the Lord showed me, he says, I am adorning my bride because I'm going to get them very soon. He said, I'm preparing to marry them. I'm getting ready for the wedding. And so he was adorning the bride of Christ as like a celebration. And that's where that gold dust started in my face and started appearing in other people's face. And so you're going to start seeing a lot of signs and wonders before he comes, because he wants to reach a lost and dying world before he comes. That's what he's doing. So you'll see, listen, don't go chasing it. Let it serve you. And then let the signs and wonders follow you. Do you see that? Because everybody here is equipped to do something that they've been called to do. I'm called to manifest different gifts And so we can reach different type of people. Amen? Could I have, like, everybody just come up here? You know, I like doing that because I believe when we all